WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Mary Morris is one of the few but growing number of women travel writers. She doesn't see herself as an adventurer, but as an observer, a storyteller. Notes from Morris's journals about her travels in Mexico and Central America became the book Nothing to Declare, Memoirs of a Woman Traveling Alone. In her new travel book, Morris writes that the first foreign country she ever visited was her grandmother's house. Although her grandmother lived in downtown Chicago, the sounds, stories, and smells of her native Russia filled the house. In 1986, Morris planned a trip to her grandmother's village near Kiev. Morris planned to travel through China and the Soviet Union. The journey is recounted in Morris's new book, Wall to Wall, From Beijing to Berlin by Rail. The trip was set to begin 10 days after the Chernobyl nuclear accident. At the time, Morris was 40 and hoping to have a child sometime in the near future. Her women friends, fearful of the effects of radioactivity, urged her not to go. Her male friends told her to go.
This was going to be my last hurrah. This was going to be the trip that I was going to take before I settled down to have a child. It didn't mean that I wasn't going to travel again, but I saw this in terms of traveling alone for a long time. This was going to kind of be it. And I really did this survey of all my women friends, and everyone said, without a doubt, if you want to have a child, don't go. And all the men said, go. And it really was interesting, except for the shoemaker, my Russian shoemaker, and my doctor. My doctor said, don't go. But I went, so that was that.
When you decided to not go to Kiev because of the radiation from Chernobyl, Right. It was difficult for you to change your travel plans because of all the Soviet bureaucratic things that were involved. So you made up a story that you were pregnant, figuring that this they would respect. You didn't realize you actually were pregnant at the time.
Well, truthfully, Terry, the minute I said it, I knew. It was that kind of thing where, I had made up many excuses to various women from Intourist to try to get my itinerary changed, and I finally thought, okay, I'll tell this woman I'm pregnant. And the minute I said it, it was quite clear to me that, in fact, I was going to have a child.
When you realized that you were pregnant, you decided you wanted to get married to your companion of 3 years, who you knew as the father. But he was where at the time when you had this realization?
He was in New York, en route to New Zealand. And actually, I don't know if this is in the book, but when I called him and told him that I really thought I was pregnant and I wasn't going to the Ukraine and that I really wanted to have the child, I think things happened a little bit differently than the way I wrote them in the book. I had to kind of compress some things. But he basically thought I was kind of making it up. So it wasn't until I talked to him a little bit later that I told him I wasn't making it up that things kind of fell apart between us. It was clear to me that he was not really interested in going in this direction.
What was it like for you to be alone on the road, finding out you're pregnant and realizing that your relationship is going to fall apart, too?
It was probably the loneliest moment of my life. It was really a kind of moment of reckoning. And I draw analogies with Anna Karenina and, you know, her sense of... I really felt the solitude of women. I mean, I don't really know how else to say that. I mean, I was very alone. I didn't have any of my network of friends or people or anyone I could talk to. And, you know, I was just very isolated with this knowledge and also debating what I was going to do about it. I mean, I don't think it's that easy for a woman who's very, very close to 40 to be in that situation no matter what. I have many friends facing similar situations. I felt very connected to women at that moment and yet very alone because there wasn't anyone there to talk to.
You considered an abortion. Can I ask you, when you were making, like, your mental lists about... why to have the baby and why to have an abortion, what those lists look like?
Well, money was right up there with them, I guess, and also, could I manage? I mean, I didn't really have a sense of the reality of what taking care of a child alone would be like. And also, I had lived my life in a very free way. I had gone where I wanted, when I wanted, and the thought of the constraints on my freedom, my personal freedom, weighed very heavily on me. But on the other hand, I think something was happening inside of me. I mean, this trip... unlike Nothing to Declare, which was really a trip about being a woman alone, it's single, solitary, I was really looking for family in Wall to Wall. And I think that finding that I, in fact, was going to have a family was part of the journey.
Did you treat yourself differently when you knew you were pregnant?
I stopped drinking vodka. That was my main thing, which is not that easy to do in the Soviet Union because people are always offering vodka to you. In fact, when I got back to the United States, I told my doctor I was very concerned because I had done a lot of drinking in the Soviet Union, and he said, God, I hope it wasn't water because of the Chernobyl situation. And I said, no, it was vodka. He said, well, I'm sure you'll be fine. And I was, yeah, I mean, I think women just in general, I mean, I had never been pregnant before, but I remembered feeling sort of like I wanted to protect myself and be kind of safe and curled up. And of course, it's pretty difficult when you're, you know, on a pretty intense journey, but I felt that that's what I wanted to do. I didn't exactly do it, but I did the best I could.
My guest is travel writer Mary Morris. Her new book is Wall to Wall, From Beijing to Berlin by Rail. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Travel writer and novelist Mary Morris is my guest. Now you're married to,
yes,
to someone who's not the father of your daughter.
Right.
Your new book is part of a series of books about being a woman traveling. And your first two books are about being a woman alone traveling. The books that you're in the process of writing or are conceiving now are about traveling with your daughter and then traveling as a family.
Right.
When you were traveling on this trip that your new book is about through China and the Soviet Union, what was the typical reaction you'd get from men and women to being a woman alone? Did they think that that was unusual?
The Chinese can't cope with it. They want to know where your group is and why they don't get it, why you'd be alone, because they always go in a group. You know, they have to have the group. And the Russians also, they have a hard time understanding why you're not, you know, with a bunch of people. I think for me the most, extreme example of this was the Soviet border guards, the women that came into my compartment and took my high heels and held them in my face and said, why are you traveling alone with high heels, assuming that I was a prostitute, because that's what they would think a prostitute would do. They couldn't imagine a woman alone might have to go to a dinner party once in a while, you know. So, yeah, I think there were some, you know, complicated issues about it for me.
Did you ever feel physically threatened on this trip through China?
No,
and the Soviet
not
Union?
On this trip. No, I found the Chinese and the Eastern Europeans and the Soviets extremely respectful of women, and I think it comes out of the kind of society that they have. I mean, if they're not, you know, I think capitalism and money and things like that do funny things to the way people view women. And, you know, I think America is probably the most violent society vis-a-vis women that I've ever traveled in. I would never travel alone in America.
Why not?
I feel threatened here. I mean, I'll travel around New York, or I'll go from, you know, I mean, I won't travel the way I've traveled. I probably by car, for example. I mean, I just think there are strange things out there in America, much stranger than in the Soviet Union. I mean, I had a cab driver take me all over the outskirts of Moscow we were together for about 6 hours. Then when I went to Voznesensky's house, and he brought me back at around 2 a.m. And I didn't feel threatened for 1 minute, you know, and I was sitting in the front seat and trying to talk to him in Russian, and he was a young guy, and it just, there's something about them. Women are not objects to them in the same way I think that they are here. I mean, this is a very superficial comment I'm making. I mean, I don't really know the deeper psychological structures of the society, but I just know what I read in the newspaper, and it just seems to me that America is a much more dangerous place.
Some people have trouble enjoying the experience when they're traveling alone. Because there's nobody to...
It's lonely.
Yeah, there's no one to have little in-jokes with and to describe things with and so on. Do you enjoy it less when you're alone, or are there things that are so fulfilling about traveling alone that compensate for that?
You know, it's funny, because this trip was in 86, and now it's 1991, and I haven't been alone in 5 years.
Right.
I'd love to be alone. I'm going to go on tour with this book, and I'm going to be alone for a week. I think there's just different, you know, it's definitely, you know, sitting in a restaurant and eating a meal alone is not a lot of fun, or... You know, walking around a city alone late at night, it's not a whole lot of fun, but I think you have a certain freedom and perception of the world that's different when you have that solitude, you know, the solitude of self. But on the other hand, you know, you have to deal with people when you're with them. I mean, I think my next book is going to be about traveling through the Southwest with my family. I mean, we went for 2 months in a van with a teenager and my teenage nephew and my daughter and my husband. And, you know, that was just a very different kind of vacation. You know, I can't call it a vacation. Whatever it was very different than being alone. I think there's just trade-offs, you know, no matter what.
What are some of the things you liked about traveling with a family?
Oh, truthfully, Terry?
Yeah, truthfully.
I love traveling with my husband, but, I mean, the things about... Well, okay, I guess one of the things about traveling with a family, children bring things to you, and it really is amazing. I mean, one thing that happened to us when we were... We spent a whole year, 1990, traveling through the Southwest, And I mean, when I say that, I'm always writing and I'm always have other things going on. But when we were on the road a lot of the time, and we would spend an enormous amount of time at Native American ceremonial dances and things like that. And once I remember I had my daughter in my arms, and we were sort of walking through the village, and the Indians were giving an offering they had. And they were all in their costumes, and they were going into the square with their offering. And we said hello to a dancer who was very beautifully dressed, and my, you know, Katie was in my arms, and we smiled at this dancer. And he turned around and he gave us his offering, which was a beautiful pair of rawhide earrings. Because I think she had made contact with him, and he gave us his gift. And I think there's something about being with children, they kind of break down some barriers. I mean, I found, particularly with Native Americans, you know, we'd go into a village with our daughter, and people would start to talk to us. Whereas I think if we were just alone, there's just a different feeling about being with an adult or just being adults. There's some barriers that get broken down there. So.
Okay, what's the other side, though, about traveling with a baby? You said that
it's difficult.
Know, yeah.
I mean, just practically, I mean, there's... You know, I mean, I think one of the things that I have found about being a mother and a writer and a traveler is that you have to really weigh the trade-offs. I mean, there's things that I would really love to do that just aren't fair to the child. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would, you know, get in a car and drive for 10 hours to get to some obscure part of the Navajo reservation to see a dance that no one's ever seen before. Well, you know, that's just not really fair to a 3 or 4 year old child to do that. You know, our daughter used to get up every morning and look at us groggily and say, "Where are we going now?" And, you know, I think that, and just practically, you know, there's things you need, you know, milk, diapers, you know, food, certain kinds of things you have to be able to provide, provide for a child. We knew these friends who went to Lithuania for a month, and the suitcase that had all their disposable diapers was lost, and so they had to kind of use cheesecloth, they told me, and they said it was really, not that, I mean, you know, disposable diapers aren't the greatest things in the world, but they had no diapers with them, essentially, and they had to kind of do something makeshift. You know, they're difficulties. Children have needs that are different from adult needs. I mean, I can put up with sleeping on a straw mat and not having great food for a night, but you have to think about your child. You have to think about the water the child's drinking, the food it's eating.
What keeps you traveling?
Well, to be honest, I'm not really traveling so much anymore. I mean, I've always been curious about the world. I've always been a bit restless. I've always wanted to kind of go places, but now I'm feeling more that I want to focus on my own writing and write more fiction and kind of take more internal journeys, a little less than external. But I think way back then what kept me traveling was a real kind of search I was on that's sort of complicated and has to do with things inside of myself and also just a basic curiosity about the world. I mean, I loved it when I did it, you know, but I also think I was kind of, looking for something.
Well, in your book, Wall to Wall, that's just been published, you wrote it that if you died tomorrow, you didn't know where you'd be buried.
Right.
Because you just didn't have deep enough roots in any one place, and all the family plots were taken up
right,
already.
That's true.
Do you still feel that way?
I still don't know where I'll be buried, and I do think about it because I keep thinking, gee, I should have a place where I want to be, you know, where I want my family to be. And it is true that my mother sold my plot to a distant cousin, so I have, like, no real place. But then I think sometimes it doesn't really matter anyway. I guess we're living in Brooklyn now. I really like it. It really works for us. But I don't really know what home is. You know, home is a complicated notion, I think, in this society. And, maybe it's something I'll always be looking for. Goethe once said that being a writer is about being homesick, you know, and always searching for that place that you remember. And, you know, maybe that's just the way I'll always be.
Do you think that that search can continue without being on the road physically searching?
Yeah, I mean, I think now that I have a child and a husband, I feel more that home is an emotional construct rather than a physical, geographical place. I mean, I had always felt the town that I grew up in Illinois was home, but it's not home anymore. I mean, emotionally, it's not home. You know, the connections are not there anymore. So I think it can be a more kind of spiritual thing than a real geographical location.
What do you miss most about the days when you could travel alone?
Well, I think first and foremost, I'm a writer, and I'm always writing. And I think the thing about being alone on the road is you can just really let your mind wander and your imagination go. And I mean, I would just take my journals and write for hours and hours and hours on a bus, on a train, or just sitting in a cafe. And I really miss that. That is something I just don't have in my life anymore, that kind of clear mental space, you know, that sort of profound solitude where no one's going to interrupt you, nobody's going to want an ice cream, nobody wants to know what you want to do next. That I really miss. You know, that's kind of hard to get now.
Well, Mary Morris, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks, Tara.
Mary Morris's new travel book is called Wall to Wall, From Beijing to Berlin by Rail. This is Fresh Air.